أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين We continue with verse number 17 of Surah Mulk أأمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير Are you secure that he who is in the sky will not unleash upon you a storm of stones so that soon you will know how my warning has been? Now, if you remember in the previous verses, we discussed about the earth and how it has been tractable, calm, tranquil, and tame for human beings, and so resourceful that we use all its resources, exploit it, make technology, facilities, everything. Now, we take it for granted. And by being occupied with what Allah has given us, we forget the giver, we forget the one who has given all these things. Qushayri, who was one of the mystical scholars and exegetes of the 5th century, says a very beautiful thing about this. He says that people are occupied with the ni'mah and they forget the mun'im. Now here, the verse is telling us, why do you all the time take these things for granted? Why do you feel secure that despite whatever you do, things will continue the way it were all the time? And the previous verse said that أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ What if he makes the earth swallow you? Is he not able to do that? Of course he is, but he doesn't do. أَأَمِنْتُمْ This is the verse number 17, what we are discussing now. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاسِبًا حَاسِب is a storm of stones. When a storm comes and it brings stones with itself. Now it may be due to many things, due to a volcano or due to a very powerful hurricane or something like that. And the Quran mentions that this has happened to a few nations before. For example, in Surah Qamar, we have كذبت آل لوط المرسلين. The people of Lut, they denied the messengers or belied the messengers. إنا أرسلنا عليهم حاصبا إلا آل لوط نجيناهم بسحر. We sent a حاصب to them. That is this storm of stone coming over them. Except, of course, the family of Lut that we, in the early morning, we saved them. And this was, of course, ni'matan min indana. Kadhalika najzi man shakar. This was a bounty from us that we saved the good people. And of course, the others were destroyed. The example of the people of Lut, the cities of Sodom and close by cities, there were five cities that they were actually living in, and all of them were engaged in that very vile act. It has been brought to the attention of all nations in the Bible, in the Gospel, in the Quran, that look, when a nation goes astray, what will be the consequences, how we would deal with them. So if we have done these with previous nations, then we can do it. Why we do it with certain nations, I will discuss that later. Why Allah somehow cut off the continuation of a nation. And this is very unhumanistic, so to speak. we would say this is very inhumane. Why God would do such a thing to human beings who are living on this earth? Now, let's continue with the verse, and then inshallah we'll discuss that. So, after أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءَ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاسِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. Then you would know how the consequences of my warning is going to be. I'm warning you, if you just turn away, then of course it has consequences. It has consequences in this world, it has consequences in the next world. In this world, if things go wrong, of course, you will see what will be the consequences of my nadhir, means enzar, warning. When I warn and you do not take heed, you would see what would be the consequences. Of course, this is done so smoothly and over time that people do not realize that there are such consequences for certain nations. And of course, Allah mentions that there is a precedence for this. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. Those before them also denied. How was my nakir? Nakir is either the change of ni'mah. How did I change the ni'mah for them? So the previous verses mentioned the earth, the blessings of the earth, and all these things. Now, these can suddenly change or overturn. If Allah wishes, it can overturn. كَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. So nakir has two meanings. One meaning is the change of ni'mah, change of blessings. How did I change the blessings to punishment? How did they lose everything? Just imagine, for example, the people of Egypt who were following Pharaoh. How suddenly everything changed for them. Just in the blink of an eye, or just in a matter of a day, when they were drawn in the water, everything, all the ni'mah, was changed. The interesting thing about Pharaoh, which is sometimes striking, I mean, it really makes people to gape how it happened. You know, when Moses, peace be upon him, took the Israelites out of Egypt, out of the city. Now, of course, they went overnight and there were not enough guards to prevent them. And they were, of course, moving away. Pharaoh could have actually gone after them with the guards and soldiers at his disposal, but he feared that it may not be enough. These were 600,000 men. It may but not be enough. So what he did, he sent فَأَرْسَلَ فِرْعَوْنُ فِي الْمَدَائِنَ حَاشِرِينَ, sent messengers to all the cities of Egypt, all the commanders, all the soldiers, everyone who could take arm, come. I want to give a lesson to these people, to this rotting people of Israeli, Banu Israel. I want to give them a lesson. Everyone should come. So from all areas of Egypt, the princes, the members of royal family, the commanders, the officers, the soldiers, the authorities, everyone, فَأَرْسَلَ فِرْعَوْنُ فِي الْمَدَائِنَ حَاشِرِينَ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَشِرْذِمَةٌ قَلِيلُونَ. These are a small group, a bunch of people here. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَنَا لَغَائِذُونَ. They have made me angry. Now I want to take revenge. So everyone came. They were living in palaces, in gardens. Now the Quran says, فَأَخْرَجْنَاهُمْ مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ بَأُيُونَ. We brought them out. From every quarter we brought them out. From all quarters of Egypt we brought them out. Look how he brought him up with the command of the Pharaoh, isn't it? This is interesting. With the command, فَأَخْرَجْنَاهُمْ مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَأُيُونَ وَكُنُوزٍ. All those treasures, وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِينَ. And all those blessings, bounties that they had, they came. Now, we gathered them all together. They went after Banu Israel to, of course, to finish them off. 600,000 men, how many women, children, to finish them off completely. They needed lots of force. So everyone came from all over the Egypt. Now, again, look how it happened. Moses went to the sea. Of course, Allah had told Moses, take my people out, go from the sea. And Moses didn't know how to go. وَاتْرُكْ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوًا. Go through the sea, the sea will be tranquil for you. إِنَّهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُغْرَقُونَ. We will drown them. Now Moses came to the sea, and Allah has said that the sea would part for you and you can pass. And all the Israelites, of course, they believed that the sea would part and they can pass. So they went after Musa, and when they reached the sea did not part. It was amazing. Musa could not do anything. So they came to Musa, what's happening? You promised us this sea will part, will pass. It didn't part. Why? Because they were waiting for the force of Pharaoh to come, isn't it? فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ. When the two groups took sight of each other, قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. The followers of Musa said, this is the end. We are all dead. Now do something. You brought us here. You want to kill us all, finish us all. قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي. Now look. Pharaoh was there, was coming with that all-powerful force. They were on the shores of the sea. They didn't know how to go. And Musa is still saying, no, of course not. My Lord is with me. Sayahdeen. Soon he will tell you how to do it. Soon he will tell me how to part the sea. Why he didn't tell you last night? Why didn't he tell you yesterday? And soon he will tell you, they are here. They are going to kill us. Why? Because فَأَزْلَفْنَا ثَمَّ الْآخَرِينَ. We wanted to bring them close so that they are tempted to follow Musa into the sea. So فَأَوْحَيْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَنِذْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ. Then we revealed to Musa, now hit, strike the sea with your cane. And he did, and the sea parted. It didn't part yesterday, a couple of days ago, because they were waiting for Pharaoh to come. How Allah finished them off, brought them from their the middle of their houses, brought them by the command of the Pharaoh to come to this place to be drowned. So وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. How was the change of name? The other meaning of nakir is rebuttal. How was my rebuttal? When they changed, how did I, of course, strike back? And you can ponder about this. Now, the question that I mentioned is this. Is this fair? Or is this reasonable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create man? And then these men, of course, develop in society. The societies develop. People come one after another, generation after generation. And then they develop their own ways of life, their own ways of thinking, their own ways of worship, their own ways of social relations. And because God doesn't like some of these ways, doesn't like some of these ways of worship, social relation, cultures, then he destroys them. If you mention this to any humanistic ideology today, they say God is, of course, cruel. He shouldn't do that. This is human being. Human should be free to do whatever they want, whatever they desire. Now, here we realize that that is not based on any understanding from the Quran or from any scripture. Yes, of course, human being is free to do whatever they want, but there is some sort of, there are some ways that Allah approves of. And if the human being strays away from it, then the whole philosophy of their life is lost. And God, when he sees that there is no point continuing a generation, of course, more children coming, more people coming, more damage will be done, more souls will be lost. Why Nuh, despite all those years calling his people to the way of Allah, eventually said, قَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Oh God, now that you are destroying, do not leave out even one person. Finish them off all. Why? Because he thought that if even one person, it's just like a plague, one person comes to the community that he's going to make afterwards, then it would destroy the community. إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُذَلُّ عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارَ. If you leave them, they will lead your people astray, and what they give birth to is just like them, kafir, disbeliever, and people who would do mischief on the earth. This is the reason. This is the reason why certain nations are destroyed. Now, one point is, these things have happened in the past. Certain nations were uprooted completely, like Ad and Thamud. The Quran, of course, mentions Ad and Thamud very much because they were great civilizations. Great civilizations. When I say great, I really mean great. They were more developed and advanced than Egypt, for example, than Egypt of Pharaoh, who were very advanced in technology, in architecture and such things. These were more advanced than them, and they were in Arabia. They were in southern Arabia, in what is now Yemen, and the Thamud were in the northern Arabia, what is now Syria and the area vicinity of that places. And they had great civilizations. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Did you not see how your God treated Ad? إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْإِمَادِ, that city with pillars, apparently like these Roman cities with these huge pillars, أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ, the like of which was not created, was not made anywhere in the world. Now, these big, huge civilizations were destroyed. And whenever, of course, a mention of Ad and Thamud was made in the Quran, the Arabs who knew these civilizations, something, of course, some chord in their mind moved that, oh, Ad and Thamud, the great civilizations, the glories, the glorious times of Arabs. Now, they were, of course, they knew they were destroyed. They knew with earthquake or other things they were destroyed. So these things, this sort of total destruction of nations has happened in the past. Would that happen at the present time as well? Would we ever see such a thing happening in our time? Apparently, most of the scholars say that this is not going to happen after the prophethood has finished. Because Allah mentions several times that we do not destroy until before we warn. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذَّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We would not punish unless we would appoint a messenger. So only the nations who defied and denied the messengers with miracles. Miracles in which there were no doubt, like Thamud, for example. They asked a miracle from Saleh, and Saleh was a prominent man among Thamud. They wanted to make him king. قَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنَّا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا صَالِحُ. We had placed lots of hope in you before. We wanted to make you our king. Now you have come and talk evil about our gods, and you talk about one god. And then they asked him a miracle. They said, can you carve a live camel out of this mountain? And of course he did. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. Because of its mischief, they denied. إِذِنْ بَعْثَ أَشْقَاهَا فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَاهَا. The messenger of God told them, this is the camel of God. You wanted it. You wanted it to be carved out of this mountain, and now you want to kill it, and they killed it. You see, This is when the hearts completely become dark. It happens like that. Now, only destruction comes. Made, it was, I mean, it was sort of rock, big, huge rock, and he brought a camel out of that rock.
A live camel.
And now, only destruction comes to such nations who deny a prophet with a clear miracle. Those nations who do mischief and go astray and all those things, but do not have a prophet with that clear sign. Apparently, there is no such a destroying force for them. As we have in the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذَّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. What we see after these, after the prophets, what we see, and this is of course the great mercy of Allah, until he warns, he would not take action. And now we don't have a warner. Of course, we don't have prophets now to warn us. So happy us, we can do whatever we want. Of course, things will be delayed for the day of judgment. What happens now? Many things happen in our lives, many calamities, tribulations, difficulties, just to bring nations to some sort of thinking, pondering about the philosophy of life. You know, when a great destruction happens, people start to think. And these things happen, of course. These are always there. It has always been there and will be there. However, the point is, the total destruction of a people, of a nation, would not happen anymore. Because, of course, the prophets are not coming anymore. It is somehow funny. I think when we had that great hurricane or earthquake, someone asked Pope about the power of God, why God does these things. And the answer was that I also sometimes doubt, as would God do these things. This shows that we don't realize the philosophy of this life. The philosophy of this life is not comfort and just continuing, reproducing to do evil or to just indulge ourselves in pleasures. This is not the philosophy of life. And when we go into that, reminders would come to bring us to our mind that you have to think, you have to ponder. So the verses, وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. How was my rebuttal? Now, these verses are when the prophet was there. A miracle, or many miracles, were made by the prophet. So it was quite possible that an imminent destruction would come to those who, of course, rejected the prophet. However, the good thing about the time of the prophet is that there were no total rejection of our prophet. Many people accepted, and then there was Medina. The whole people actually believed in the prophet. So because there was not a total rejection, there was not a total destruction. Certain, of course, things happened, like in the Badr, for example, they were killed, as it's mentioned in the Quran, but there was not a total destruction because there was not a total rejection. Okay. Now, again, God is inviting us to ponder on what is around us, things which happen as a matter of course, things which we see as in our everyday lives. We see them, they are here. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ. Do they not regard the birds above them? It started with the heavens, creation of death and life, and then the creation of earth. Now it's coming to very small things. Look around yourself. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ. Have they not regarded the birds above them, spreading and closing their wings. No one sustains them except the All-Beneficent. Indeed, he is observant of everything. Now, the Safat and Wayaqbin, of course, may refer to birds when sometimes they just spread their wings and sometimes they flip their wings, or certain birds who usually fly with the spread wings and others who usually fly with flipping wings. However, that's not important. The important thing is that you may think that, okay, this is nature. Nature has brought it about. It's something that has come about by itself. This is what you usually think, isn't it? It has come about by itself. It's nature. It has brought all these things about. And this is not a new idea. We think that now that we have evolution, we have a new idea, and we think that things have come about by nature. No. In the Quran, it says, وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. It is just nature. That is nature. It's nature. We come, we leave, we go. Now, if you look at it with a deeper insight, look at these birds, look how they fly, how they sustain themselves, how they navigate. Some of these birds, which make great migrations in different seasons, how they navigate their ways. It's just like a very, very complicated navigating system of planes, airplanes, isn't it? They find their ways. Have you not regarded this? How it's possible? How has it come about? Just by itself. And all your gods created them. Of course, this is now referring to the Arabs at the time. You know who is keeping them? مَا يُمْسَكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. It is Ar-Rahman. Now, the point of Ar-Rahman in this verse is that in almost at least three places Ar-Rahman is repeated, to saying that you may believe in different gods and different things, but there is an overarching creator, which is Rahman, and is sustaining everything, is creating everything, and you have to ponder about it. Ar-Rahman is the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is that Ar-Rahman is the one who sustains everything in this world. This comes out of his mercy, all-inclusive mercy. And the kuffar, those who do not believe in God, those who disobey God, those who are enemies of God, the atheists, and all these are sustained by this Rahmaniyah of Allah, Ar-Rahman. It is all-encompassing. Everyone, everything is included. Now, Ar-Rahim, there is another mercy of God, which is for those who want to take it. Those who want to take it. Of course, that mercy is expanded as well, is somehow stretched out to everyone, but only those who take it will be included in that mercy. Ar-Rahim. Kana bil-mu'minina rahima. He is Rahim to the believers. So he's not Rahim to kafirin anymore. He's not Rahim to animals, for example. This is a special mercy for those who realize, who are intelligent, and who take this mercy. Now, therefore, Ar-Rahman is that sustainer, that creator which creates everything. Now, if you ponder, which of your idols, as addressing the Arabs, or which science of yours addressing us, sometimes we become really flippant and fool. We think that because we find out how things work, we have made them. Isn't it? We think that because we find out how they work, we have made them. We don't need God anymore. Why you don't need God anymore? Because we find out how they work. Okay. Who has made them to work like this? Even the more we know, the more we know the complication of creation, the subtlety of it, we have to admit more about the power of the Creator. So it is Ar-Rahman. إِنَّهُ بِكُلَّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ. It is his sight. It is his basar. Of course, not physical basar, which is keeping everything. everything is living under his sides. And if he takes his side away, everything will go away. So, have you not regarded that? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ. Have you not regarded the bees? Have you not regarded the ants? Have you not regarded anything in this world? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do they not look at camels, how it is created? So, is anything we look around, we see the footsteps, the traces of Allah. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Look at the traces of the mercy of Allah. كَيْفَ يُحْيَى الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتَى. How he gives life to the earth after his death. So it's like that. Now, you say that we don't need God because we find ourselves, our ways of life. And this has been a totally continuous trend in the life of human beings. You see, now when we look at around ourselves, we think that we live in a time which is very exceptional. We live in the modern time, the science, everything, and we have certain sorts of beliefs. We should have modern beliefs, modern values, something like that. When we look at the history of human beings, we can realize that it has always been like this. Certain people who wanted to deny the hand of God in this world, they would have found philosophies for it. I don't know how long ago Nuh alayhi salam lived. How long? God knows. We have in the Bible, of course, a sort of historical scale, which is not correct, about 5,000 years or 6,000 years or whatever, but we don't know. Maybe 100,000 years ago, Nuh was living on this earth. At that time, when he was preaching, the interesting thing is that the people were telling, "Ma hada illa asatirul awwalin." These are the stories of the past people. Now we are advanced, we are progressed. We have progress, we are advanced now, we have science, we have technology. These are stories of the past people. It has always been like that. And this is how human being justifies the defiance against God. Now, look at yourself. Your position with Ar-Rahman, that all-beneficent, that overarching creator. Look at your position. The Arabs would have the Prophet believed that we don't need your God. Our gods would defend us. Our gods would help us. When the Prophet was defeated in Uhud, you remember, it was even shown in the film Ar-Risala, Abu Sufyan came close to the Mount Uhud and said, "O'ulu Hubal, O'ulu Hubal, Hubal is glorified. Hubal gave us victory." And the Prophet, of course, Prophet was injured, very weak, said to his companions, "Shout, Allahu A'la wa Ajal." God is, of course, above Hubal, so naturally. And then he said, "Nahnu lana al-Uzza wa la Uzza lakum." Okay, we have Uzza. You know why you were defeated? We were victorious because we have Uzza. Uzza helped us in this victory. And then the Prophet said, "Now shout, Allahu Mawlana wa la Mawla lakum." Of course, you, Uzza is not a mullah. Allah is the mullah of everyone. How Prophet was sort of scrupulous about propaganda. If you make propaganda, we make the same thing against you. It's very important. I mean, the media propaganda, I mean, people are carried away by it. I mean, imagine the defeated people, and now the victorious man comes and says, "Uzza made us victorious." Wow, they have Uzza. Why God did not help us if God was on our side, for example? There was this sort of danger, and the Prophet, of course, was looking at that. Now, you think that, okay, you say Uzza, you say Hubal, Lat, but you admit that they are created by God, by Allah. They did admit. They said that Allah has created these and has delegated everything to them. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Have you regarded what you call beside Allah? You say that they are creations of God, okay? And you say that God has given them authority to give you whatever you want and keep you safe. You say that. However, if, for example, they want to give you something and God doesn't want it, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسَكَاتُ رَحْمَتِهِ. If Allah wants to give me something good, can they stop? If Allah wants to bring me harm, can they stop? No. قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ. So why should I worship them? I worship God directly. Now, these are the type of arguments that Prophet made against them. And one of the arguments is here in verse number 20. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونَ الرَّحْمَنِ. Who will help you? Who is your host? Who is your army? Who are your troops who may help you against Ar-Rahman if you go against him? إِنَ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ. The kafirun are in delusion. Now, of course, at our time, we do not worship idols anymore, although millions of people are still worshipping idols in different parts of the world and have the same beliefs that they had. But alhamdulillah, thanks to Ibrahim alayhi salam and his progeny, the great part of the world, the great part of humanity is not worshipping idols anymore. And this is, of course, due to all thanks goes to Ibrahim and his progeny. Now, we do not have that those views now, but we have funnier views sometimes. We think that, for example, we have control, we have power, or others can help us. Or if something happens, for example, we want to fight against the ruling of God. Well, this is, of course, you know, it's impossible. No, I ask. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي means, no, I ask, who is it that is your host who may help you besides the all-beneficent? The faithless only dwell in delusion. And it is a real delusion. I mean, thinking that anything in this world would work without leave of God, without his permission, it is a delusion. It's the delusion of the godless, not the delusion of God. It's the delusion of the godless. And they think that these things happen like that. Okay, verse number 21, inshallah, we leave it for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Latif khabirun samir basirun jali raqib. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مسلم صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Ya Latifah.